Hello and welcome back to the Prayer Podcast. I'm Christy Allen here with Joe Patterson.
Hi, Christy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. We are excited to continue our conversation on the Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
And I think what we want to say right off the bat here is just a reminder, whether you're joining us for the first time or you've been listening to us as we've been going along here, our goal here at the podcast is to always help us recapture the power of our prayers. We can get tripped up sometimes in the language or the mechanics or
the repetitive nature of it, you know, sometimes if we're not... we lull ourselves to sleep out of the meaning or the power of what we're praying.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like maybe we've been using the same words, which is essentially what we're going to be talking about today with this particular prayer. But so we're hoping through this conversation today that we will give you guys some fresh eyes to look at this prayer, a new way to open your heart to God through these very powerful words and kind of recapture the life-giving power of this prayer. So that's what we're here to do today. So let's get at it.
We hope that you have been answering the challenge that we have been talking about on Sunday mornings of praying this prayer daily and you know, finding places to do that, whether it be in your regular devotional time or on your trip to work or trip home from work or during your lunch hour or as a family before bedtime or where it might be. You know, we hope that you've answered that challenge and are finding the value of this prayer and connecting to God, connecting to one another, and connecting God to one another. It's very, very, very vital for us as a church congregation to be about those things. So we hope you've stepped up to that. And if you haven't, you can start today. So we encourage you to do that. I think particularly Christy and I have been talking about how we can get real specific about parts of this prayer and recognize sometimes how my mind gets blown when I think about what Jesus is not only saying, but maybe, you know, suggesting at the same time in terms of what it means to live as a Christ follower through this prayer. And, you know, service before self and loving your neighbor and... placing God kind of before, you know, all these things are kind of just suggested in this prayer and encapsulate really, I think, what God is calling us to be about as Christ followers. So I know you, Christy, had talked about in particular today the idea that we have this, you know, inner working of this prayer, this kind of tennis play between trespassing, you know, between us trespassing and our neighbor or others. Trespassing against us and recognizing that certainly Jesus is suggesting in this prayer that we are probably to look at ourselves first in our trespasses prior to what others are doing to us in this prayer.
Yeah, as we were talking about this earlier, it really kind of struck me as, you know, and we had talked about how the opening of the prayer is about God and reminding us who we're talking to and the relationship we have with God and how powerful that is. And last week we talked about the kingdom and his will. And so then when you think about and I guess we'll go back to the daily bread here in a second, but when we were talking about the trespassing part, it really struck me where it starts with us. It starts with me looking at where have forgive us our trespasses. So I have to look at my mess first. I have to really examine where have I maybe pushed where I should not have, or been in someone's business where I did not belong, or spoken of someone that was not mine to do, or whatever that looks like, whatever the trespass is. And I was telling you earlier, I love the image, you know, you think you have a fenced in yard or whatever, and we all have our boundaries, our personal space, so to speak. And so to me, this image is helpful because it's like, you know, you don't want to go where you're not invited, and you certainly don't want people coming into your space uninvited. And so I think starting first with, where did I go uninvited? Where did I violate somebody else's boundaries, whether that be emotionally, physically, verbally, even in my thoughts? Like, where have I pushed it? Where have I pushed that line? And I think if you start there with yourself, which of course is difficult to do, I think when we go to flip to the next part and look at where others have trespassed and maybe violated our boundaries or come uninvited to our situations, we might find out we think about that differently. Sure. We look at that person differently, and we may have more grace for them. Sure. We may have more understanding. We may get to that place where we're always talking about here, Joe, how we're just human. Like, we all have brokenness. We all have stuff in our lives that is not the way we want it to be. And I think if we remember that and remember our own humanity first, that's helpful. And we had talked about how God is just, this always blows my mind, he knows how we need to be reminded in certain ways. And in scripture we hear, you know, love the Lord God, your God, with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Those three relationships are very present.
Absolutely.
In this prayer, and just even thinking about, well, I can't love my neighbor as myself if I have not looked at myself first. And this speaks to that. This is a way of, you know, yeah, I got to take care of my stuff. I got to look at what I'm doing and my relationship with God and myself before I can then do the rest.
It's so hard though, because, you know, we recognize that, you know, we're a people that are, you know, insecure about our inadequacies.
Sure.
You know, and mm-hmm. It's almost like Jesus in this prayer is just saying, okay, you have issues. I mean, there's not a question of if, you know, or, mm-hmm. or when,
or how much.
You do have issues.
They're there.
You do. You are a trespasser. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's
right.
Just the bottom line. And
yeah.
And so there's like this, that's a hard thing to digest.
Yeah.
If we're not careful.
Yeah. And I don't think any of us want, we've talked about this with the self-examine. None of us really want to sit and think about, I messed that up. We just don't want to. It's uncomfortable.
Yes.
You know? And I think too, Joe, like how like God though, to first remind us who
yeah.
we are in
yeah.
him, and that Jesus, like you're saying, is suggesting, or I'm saying, or saying, you asked me how to pray, I'm going to tell you, this is how it should be. It's our relationship. And if we remember that, that's who we should bring our shortcomings,
yes.
our places of brokenness, mm-hmm. the mess that we have. It starts with our relationship with, like, that's who we take that. That's who can help us in that. And we shouldn't be afraid to do that. And I think too many of us are like, well, if I even admit that out loud, well, guess what? God already knows it.
Sure.
And he still loves you and is waiting for you to just say, yeah, I already knew that. Go ahead. Like our conversation with Wendell. I was just waiting for you to tell it to me. I already knew. Like, remember that? It was so great. If y'all haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that podcast with Wendell. But, you know, we just need to get over ourselves,
yes.
I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, you know, we back up in a prayer a little bit. You know,
let's do that.
I got us a little bit ahead of ourselves here a little bit, and I apologize for that. But let's back up just a hair here and talk about this giving us our daily bread thing. And maybe the answer to that or exploring that offers us a little bit of support if we are to legitimately look in the mirror at our inadequacies. Because if the daily bread, if our daily lifeblood is legitimately God, legitimately He is the oxygen that we inhale every day. If that's it, you know, if that's our daily bread, and it's not, you know, accolades or the applause of others, or if it's not the, you know,
success,
we really, really
marks or whatever.
Exactly. If those become our daily bread, then that's where we run into problems potentially if we're not careful. That's where we lose sight of the fact that we have inadequacies if we're chasing the wrong daily type of bread.
Right. Yeah, and I appreciate that you said the term lifeblood, which is kind of a buzzword these days. But I think what that suggests is vitality and life and life-giving. Yes. And God wants the best life for us. He doesn't want us to just survive and exist. Yes. He wants us to thrive and grow and be blessed so that we can bless others, so that we can do that kingdom work that we talked about last week, that we can be part of. Bringing in those glimpses of the kingdom so that we can be part of building that and seeing that and catching that vision. And that's part of that daily bread if we realize that's where it comes from and gives us that ability to, well, we are to depend on God and He has what is best for us. So if we start there, then the rest of the prayer kind of, like you said, kind of that's the foundation, and then that kind of gives us the way to do that, and realizing that bread can literally be bread.
Yes,
it could be emotional support. Sure. It could be whatever you need, whatever your need is that day. Remind us, Joe, because I think it's important to think about where. Contextually, you know, who the listeners of that day were and what that would have been familiar to them, that phrase of daily bread, what that would have reminded them of.
Oh, sure. You know, he's talking about, you know, a displaced Israelite and Hebrew folks that when they were hungry, you know, manna came from heaven like snow.
Yeah, and like literally
it covered. And covered them, and, you know, they were not hungry. They were legitimately not hungry any longer because of His fulfillment. You know, He provided, and there was promise. They found reconnection to the covenant at that at that moment. They felt like, well, God's not, He's not measuring up to His side of the agreement. But this was His way of suggesting, I'm here.
I'm still here.
Mm-hmm. And I haven't left. And so that for listeners, for the disciples that had their antennas up at the time,
they were
really
listening to their rabbi.
They were really, really listening. That was specifically what likely Jesus was referring to, or that was the connection point for them.
Mm-hmm. Which then, how? What a great connection for us, God, reminding us, I'm keeping my promise to you. I'm not leaving you. I'm with you, God with us. You know, the very name of Jesus, that I'm with you daily.
Yes.
Whatever your day brings, and I love that. And I think sometimes when we can reconnect those dots too, and say over and over, God's like, I'm fulfilling my promise. I'm still here. You can trust me.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and if we think of that. I can trust God. So now when I'm looking at my life and my mess or whatever it is I need to deal with, I know I can trust that God is here with me, which I think makes it all the better. So, okay, so let's keep going. So we have our bread.
So if we trust Him, you know, in a way, at the end of this prayer, He offers trust back to us with this idea of free will by saying...
Yeah.
By saying that, you know, you need to pray for you not to be led into temptation. You're not a robot. You do have a brain.
Yeah.
You do have a spirit. You do have decision making capacity within you because of how you've been designed, how the very fabric that you've come from. But there will be challenge to that.
Sure.
And you need to lean into me. You need to lean into this relationship I have with you as your creator, to help you navigate that.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal there.
I think so. I think you're right. And to hang on to that and really think about the choices, and it's not so much it's what we do when we face those things in life, and who do we lean on, or and reminding us of the, you were talking about how we were designed and how we were created, and to remember the goodness. We have God's goodness in us. So to dial into that and draw from that, I think, is part of that reminder of, you know, that's who I am. And that should help us in these moments when we face these choices.
Well, you know, we talked earlier, you know, there is no room in our life with a door shut or a door open that God does not touch and God does not want to be a part of and that God does not want the very best for. So for us to go through life and to say, oh, I got to figure out here and here and here. But you know, in this area, I'm never going to measure up. I'm never going to get there. That's just never going to be where it needs to be with God. That is so false. That is such a very, very hard reality to communicate to yourself. That's not giving God the opportunity to be where he really wants to be. There is not one space in your life that he does not want to completely cover with his presence and his mercy.
Even in our disappointments, even in our mistakes, even in the places where we can't wrap ourselves, our minds around, why did this happen or why am I here? In the hardest, most grief-stricken moments of our lives when we are so confused and so lost and doubtful. And in that moment, it is hard for us to grasp that. But that's exactly right. It's there is no place that he is not already working, whether we realize it or not, and hasn't left us. We just have to be open to that and willing to lean in and want that for ourselves. And how many times we were talking about how this prayer could help us shift from being self-seeking and self-centered to being more God-minded and kingdom-seeking. But how we get so trapped in our head, like you said, about our own shortcomings, or I will never measure up, or I'll never be good enough. How it can help us out of the places of despair too. How it can help us, you know, kind of reframe that, like, because we can beat ourselves up too much, and you can go the other way with looking at your life. Well, I'm just a mess up. I'm not gonna ever be good enough. That's not what we're saying.
Well, I tell you,
you know,
if these, I tell you, you read in scripture and you can find very clearly how God feels about you. And so anything that is a departure from that is, you know, it teeters on evil thoughts that you have of yourself. I mean, that's just, and so the end part of this prayer of delivering us from evil, I mean, this is an opportunity for us to cry out to God, deliver me from the stinking thinking, because it is not the same as you think of me.
This is
not, and they're not in alignment, and we all have these thoughts. We all think that we do not measure up. We all think that we fall short, and we all have thoughts that of ourselves, that do not align with how God thinks about us.
That's right, and I think what a good place for us to kind of leave it, because when we can get that, if we can get that out of this discussion, out of this prayer, the power that is there to bring us to that kingdom-minded focus of the beautiful, no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, the beautiful life that, that God has for us. And I think that's the hope.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it's all about. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's the kind of hope that we can just hang our hat on for ourselves and hopefully broadcast to those around us so that we can draw into the hope of a community can provide to each of us as individuals. And that's the kingdom breaking out on earth.
That's
sure.
right. That's right. Well, friends, as we close this podcast, we are holding you in our prayers.
Absolutely.
and want you to know that we have a wonderful community.
Yes.
To connect to and a wonderful God that loves each and every one of us. So as you go throughout your days and lean into this prayer, may you find the overwhelming power and grace and love that God has for you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.